Hello, and welcome to All Things Apostolic. Today we're going to discuss best practices in the corporate realm that could be incorporated in leadership development in the local assembly. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Casey Cease. Over the past couple of weeks, we have explored the concept of leadership development and looked at biblical examples such as Moses, Jesus, and the Apostle Paul. Today, we're going to take a bit of a turn and discuss four best practices from the corporate world that could be incorporated into leadership development within the local assembly. We're going to discuss how to build a culture of leadership, explore instructional design models, evaluate leadership development's effectiveness, and examine the leadership pipeline as a framework to utilize. The first best practice that we're going to discuss is a commitment to intentional leadership development. In cultivating a leadership development culture, we first must understand what it means to have a culture centered on leadership development. If we were to provide a working definition, it would be that leadership development is an intentional process aimed at enhancing the Christian character and ministry skills of both established and emerging leaders. This definition underscores the need for a purposeful approach to nurturing leadership qualities at every level of ministry. Dr. Daphne Scott emphasizes that fostering a leadership culture is not just beneficial, but it is essential for an organization's vitality. She identifies three crucial elements in building this culture, and they are taking responsibility, dedicating time and resources, and creating a formal structure. This triad forms the backbone of a sustainable leadership development model and ensures that the process is not sporadic or haphazard, but instead it is continuous and a strategic effort to cultivate ministry and leadership within the local church. Leadership development, then, should be accessible to all of the church's members, not just those stepping into leadership roles. This inclusive approach ensures that leadership growth is seen as a continuous journey rather than a destination, and it provides opportunities for development at every level of the church. It's about creating a system where leadership development becomes part of the organization's fabric, and it is embedded in the daily operations and long-term strategies. Todd Atkins further explains this and expands on it by introducing six components that are critical for culture of leadership development in a local assembly. The six components he outlines are scripture, strategy, structure, skills, systems, and style. And so scripture is the cornerstone of everything in the church. And so when we talk about leadership development within the local church, it must be rooted in the biblical mandate to equip believers for ministry, and it reflects upon the nature and responsibility that are afforded to all believers. Strategy talks about the goal of cultivating godly leaders, and so it's not just about delegating tasks. This involves a thoughtful process where emerging leaders are gradually entrusted with more responsibility, and it prepares them adequately for their future roles. When we talk about structure, we're talking about tailoring the leadership development process to fit the local church's context and recognizing and adapting the different stages of leadership growth. When we talk about skills, we're talking about identifying and nurturing the competencies that are needed for each developmental phase, ensuring leaders are equipped with the necessary abilities to lead effectively based on their particular role. When we talk about systems, we're talking about implementing a structured and intentional approach to leadership development and ensuring that it is consistent, reproducible, and sustainable across the church. Now, when we discuss style, style includes the methodology of training, which should align with the church's ethos and provide an effective learning environment for potential leaders. The second best practice that we're going to discuss today is designing the actual program. And so at the heart of this design process lies what some refer to as the ADDIE model, which is an acronym that represents analysis, design, development, implementation, and evaluation. This model serves as a foundational framework for guiding educators and trainers in creating effective learning experiences. The process begins with analysis, where the core needs and the challenges of the organization are identified. This stage is crucial as it sets the direction for the entire program, ensuring that the training addresses the actual needs of the leaders and aligns with the organization's goals. Following analysis, the design phase establishes the learning objectives and it outlines the structure of the program. It also creates a roadmap for what the training will achieve. After this, we turn to development, and development is all about translating the design into tangible learning materials and activities. This is the phase where the rubber meets the road, if you will. It is where the content is created, it's where the selection of training methodologies are chosen, and it is including the preparation of resources that will be used in the training program. Implementation brings this entire plan that we've discussed so far to life, and it is the executing of the training program and engaging of the participants in the developmental process. This phase is the visible phase of the leadership development process, where participants interact with the material, with the facilitators, and each other to acquire new knowledge and skills. Evaluation is the final phase, and in the evaluation of the training material, we assess the effectiveness of the program. This is critical because it ensures that the objectives of the training have been met, and it identifies areas where we can improve in the future. Evaluation is an ongoing process that provides feedback that can be used to refine and enhance future training programs. In addition to the ADDIE, there are other models such as the ISD model and Dick and Carrie's 10-step model that offer alternative approaches to structuring the developmental process. Each model brings its unique perspective, but all share the common goal of creating a targeted and effective training experience. When we look at the corporate world, we can look at companies like Google and Zappos, which exemplify the integration of these instructional design models into their leadership development initiatives. They emphasize not just the acquisition of knowledge, but also the practical application of these skills, fostering an environment where leadership abilities are continually nurtured and grown. Designing an intentional leadership development process requires a careful blend of strategic planning, targeted content development, and continuous evaluation. By adopting proven instructional design models and tailoring them to the specific needs of the church, we create a framework that nurtures and develops effective leaders for today and tomorrow. The third best practice that we're going to discuss is evaluating and assessing intentional leadership development process. And so leadership development within the church is critical, and it is an investment in the future. And to ensure that this investment yields the desired outcomes, it is essential that we have an evaluation and assessment plan in place. These mechanisms help to gauge the effectiveness of leadership development programs, or what others refer to as LDPs, and it ensures that they are delivering them and meeting the intended goals. And so evaluation and assessment can take various forms, from formal assessments and surveys to mentoring sessions and participant interviews. Each of these methods offer a unique insight into the program's impact and effectiveness, allowing for a comprehensive understanding of its strengths and, again, its need for improvement. When we evaluate LDPs, it's important to consider both the individual components of the program and the overall experience. This dual focus ensures that each aspect of the program is contributing effectively to the development of leaders within the church. And so one way in which you can look at this is through what is referred to as the Kirkpatrick's four-level evaluation model, which offers a framework for assessing training programs. This model evaluates the program's effectiveness across four dimensions. The dimensions in which it looks at are reaction, learning, behavior, and results. Each level provides critical insights into different aspects of the program, from participant satisfaction and learning outcomes to behavioral changes and the organization impact. And so, for example, at level one, evaluating learner reaction and satisfaction can provide immediate feedback on the program's reception and its perceived value amongst those that are actually taking the training. When we look at level two, learning assessment focuses on the knowledge and skills that are acquired, and it ensures that they align with the program's objectives. At level three, application and implementation evaluation examines how participants apply their skills in their roles, which is crucial for leadership development. And then finally, level four, the Kirkpatrick model results, or what others would call business impact, looks at the broader organization's benefits of the training. And so it assesses how it contributes to the church's overarching goals. So it's not just a matter of, are people learning new skills? It's, are the skills that people learning impacting the church, and they do they align with the church's overarching goals? And so by employing a structured evaluation framework, churches can ensure that their leadership development programs are not only effective, but that they're also continuously improving. This ongoing assessment helps in refining the program and ensuring that they remain relevant to the church's needs. So effective evaluation and assessment are key in realizing the full potential of leadership development program. By systematically analyzing these programs' impact, churches can ensure that they are nurturing leaders who are not only skilled and knowledgeable, but that it also fully aligns with the church's mission and vision. And so the fourth best practice that we're going to look at is actually a framework that includes and incorporates all of the best practices that we've already talked about. This would be a framework that you could implement in your local assembly to train leaders within the church, and that is the leadership pipeline. And so developing leaders, we've already discussed, within the church should be a strategic process that requires intentional and long-term perspective. The concept of a leadership pipeline emphasizes the need for a deliberate and systematic approach to cultivate leadership competencies at every level or layer within the church. A leadership pipeline is more than a pathway for individual progression. Instead, it represents a framework that facilitates the transition of individuals through different leadership roles, each requiring a distinct set of skills, values, and responsibilities. This framework helps in identifying the competencies needed at each stage of leadership development, and it ensures a clear progression path for potential leaders. The pipeline model is structured around what Drotter and others refer to as transitions or passages that individuals make as they move from being an individual contributor to leading others, from leading others to managing managers, and eventually to leading specific departments or cross-divisionally. Each transition demands a shift in the mindset and skill set, and it reflects the changing nature of leadership responsibilities. An example of this would be the transition from managing self or leading self to leading others. This requires developing interpersonal skills. It requires learning how to delegate effectively, and it also requires understanding how to motivate and develop team members. As individuals further progress, perhaps they need to acquire strategic thinking abilities, financial acumen, and maybe the capability to manage complex organizational dynamics. In the context of the church, adapting the leadership pipeline model involves recognizing unique aspects of spiritual leadership and aligning the development stages with the church's mission and values. This might include leading small groups, overseeing ministries, or managing church-wide initiatives. Each of these require different skill sets. And so when we look at implementing a leadership pipeline in a church, there are several stages that we should consider. First, we should diagnose. We should assess or assess the current leadership structure and identify existing and potential leaders at all of these levels. Second, we need to design and define the competencies and skills required at each stage of the pipeline and develop the training program that we discussed earlier that is tailored to what we need. Third, in implementation is where we're actually going to launch the leadership development program and provide ongoing support and feedback to participants. And then, as we've already discussed, we're going to evaluate and regularly assess the effectiveness of the pipeline. And so by embracing this pipeline approach in which we are getting leaders into a developmental process, and each one is defining layers within the church at which we're going to look, by embracing this, churches can create a dynamic, sustainable leadership development environment. This approach, that of a leadership pipeline, not only helps in nurturing the next generation of leaders, but it also ensures that the church's leadership capacity grows in line with its mission and strategic objectives. And so the leadership pipeline model offers a proven framework for intentional leadership development within the local assembly. By carefully planning and implementing this model, churches can ensure a consistent supply of skilled leaders that are ready to challenge or take on the challenges of the future, and it can secure the church's growth and impact by ensuring they're doing this. And so as we wrap up our discussion on effective leadership development in the corporate world and its application to the church, it's clear that the intentional and structured approach is critical. The best practices that we've explored not only facilitate growth of individual leaders, but they also contribute to the overall health and effectiveness of the church. And so again, creating a culture committed to leadership development is the foundation. This culture ensures that both emerging and established leaders are continuously nurtured. It reflects a commitment to growth at all levels of the church. And so it's about more than just filling positions. It's about fostering an environment where leadership thrives and is integral to the church's mission. The intentional design of the leadership development process, as illustrated by various instructional models like ADDIE, underscore the importance of a systematic approach. This methodological planning ensures that the development programs are relevant, effective, and aligned with the church's goals, and they facilitate a learning experience that is both transformative and sustainable. The practice of evaluating and assessing the leadership development process is crucial. It provides the necessary feedback loop to refine and improve the program and ensure that leaders remain responsive to the evolving needs of the church. The ongoing assessment helps in making informed decisions that enhance the leadership capabilities within the local assembly. And last, the leadership pipeline model offers a structured pathway for developing leaders at every level of the church, ensuring a consistent approach to nurturing the skills and competencies required. By adopting this model, churches can create a clear roadmap for leadership development, ensuring that leaders are prepared and equipped to take on their roles with confidence and competence. These best practices from the corporate world offer valuable insights and frameworks that can be adapted to the context of the church and its leadership development. By embracing these principles, the church can build a leadership development program that not only equips leaders for effective ministry, but also in advancing the church's impact in the community and beyond. The journey of leadership development is continuous, and by committing to these best practices, churches can ensure that they are well prepared to meet the challenges of today and tomorrow. Thank you for joining us. I look forward to seeing you next time.